My question for all of us was this. Have you ever doubted your faith? I know I have. And sometimes we have doubts about our faith. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's a reality of life. But the other question is, do you harbor any unanswered questions in your heart that you might find difficult to answer? I think most of us as Christians or one time or another have struggled with a matter of faith. You know, like, why did this happen to me? And how could God allow this? And where is Jesus when I need him? Could the scriptural account really be true? Does all this stuff in the Bible, is it really true? Does God hear my prayers? Does my faith really matter? Well, yeah, I think all of us have those struggles at times. I think many Christians don't want to admit, though, that they struggle with their faith. Yet, authentic faith and authentic faith community requires us not only to reveal our struggles, but to ask questions that matter to us. You know, communication is so important. God wants to talk to us, and we want to talk to God. So asking questions and getting things settled and struggling with our questions and with our faith is not a bad thing. In fact, theologians throughout history have confirmed that questions and doubts about faith can actually strengthen and confirm our faith. So the more that we feel free to question, the more our faith feels authentic, real, and more importantly, personal and worthy of our trust. We need to see doubts, not as adversaries, but as an invitation to seek and to enter into conversation with God Almighty intentionally and inquiring to reflect on Scripture and our lives and our faith and how we find meaning within it. The Holy Spirit will help us through that. And I think also throughout the Scriptures, doubts and struggles have played a key role in confirming faith. For doubt is a human reaction to the human condition. So it's okay to doubt. I think of Mary, who inquired of the Holy Spirit and accepts, but then runs over to Elizabeth for counsel. And when Elizabeth confirmed her faith, Mary bust out into what we now call the praise-fulfilled Magnificat. Think of old Joseph, who prepared to divorce her, as the law calls for him to do. Led by God, though, in a dream, reverses his course and courageously takes her as his wife and sees their family through. Oh, think of Thomas. I love old Doubting Thomas. You know, it's his doubts about the risen Lord, well, not only released his faith, but increased it when he encountered Jesus in the upper room. Think of Gideon, who so doubts his call that he challenges God to miracles using a fleece test. This is what we'll do. We'll put out a fleece. In Judges 6, you can find that. And then Moses and many of the other prophets as well, who argued with God about their ability to go do what God asked him to do. And then think of those who lament and pray. You can say that, in fact, that most prayers in Scriptures are calls to God to rescue us in the midst of our trouble and inquiries about whether or not God will answer our prayers. And then think about old Jacob. How Jacob struggled with God and his own conscience about what he'd done to Esau and whether or not he felt worthy to carry the covenant in God's name and to face his brother on the other side. You know, we're all going to go to heaven. All of us are going to go to heaven. Some might not stay, depending on if we made that commitment to God through Jesus Christ. But, you know, we're going to face people on the other side. And think of Jesus' own disciples and how often they question his motives and even his fulfillment of God's plan. I think every one of those who doubted had their faith not only confirmed but increased. Spiritual doubt, I think, is the most wonderful stimulant of spiritual growth that you can have. Doubt triggers us to inquire, to go deeper, if you would, to reflect upon and introspect all great discoverers in the world in every discipline were first driven by, you got it, doubt. So, it's not unusual in our scripture today when John the Baptist himself sends his disciples to obtain confirmation that Jesus was in fact the one they've been waiting for. John had been arrested by Herod, and by the time that we get to this point in Matthew's gospel, and as he sits in prison, he heard about the kind of things that Jesus was doing within his ministry. By this time, though, Jesus had not only been teaching and calling for repentance and healing, but he'd been proclaiming his identity. So at the time that John had baptized Jesus and proclaimed him as Messiah, he felt sure of his decision, even though he was unsure of how God would carry that out, that saving message of God's love to the world. But now he needed to be sure. After all, he was in prison, unable to continue his ministry. And many of his disciples had gone over to Jesus' group and were now studying with him. So likely they continued to report back to John the things that Jesus was doing. Now, some of his disciples may have been sent out by Jesus to start the mission of the Way. You know, we were called the Way before we were called Christians. And likely they had mentioned Jesus talks about destruction to come and the danger lurking in the future. John, too, had preached on God's coming judgment, and he needed to be sure that Jesus was the one. Time was of the essence, and the future was feeling bleak. And John felt the need to get confirmation of Jesus' identity. He needed to know that God had things in hand. And he needed to know that he had done his part. So, he sent some disciples to Jesus to get that confirmation. You the one? Well, Jesus answered them with a phrase from Isaiah, and the disciples' own experience and witness. And he said, go and tell John what you heard and see. You know, that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and those with a skin disease are cleansed and healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is everyone who takes no offense at me. What a message! That message gained John's closure. And he had accomplished his mission. His job was done. And then, you know, later John would be beheaded in prison. And he would never see the culmination of God's mission. But he knew he could rest in peace because the scriptures had been fulfilled. So Jesus and John's confirmation of faith and Jesus' identity and John coming to know the fact that, yes, he was truly the Messiah, did not only come from quotation from Scripture, but also from his own disciples, witnesses to the veracity of the truth. Now, the Bible is a human document about truth and witness, inspired by our experience and our relationship with God, and relied on in ways that help us to connect with God in real and personal ways. So when we read about Jesus, the accounts from eyewitnesses and his saving grace in the scriptures, our mind then also becomes curious. But when we encounter God in our lives in a real and experiential way, the assurance of God's love for us, our doubts, and are confirmed by our faith, that's when our trust grows deeper and deeper. I can only reflect from my own personal experience, but I know when I finally accepted Christ into my life and I made a commitment that was real, little by little, Ralphie changed. Not for the good, I want to say. But it was a growth thing, and little by little that pruning took place, and my faith then grew deeper and deeper because I know that it was real. And I was able then to share people what I was like and what I'm like now and what happened in between because that real assurance of God's love into my life. Well, humans, though, we're all human, and we have a deep need for meaning. And I think doubt and curiosity are some of our greatest allies. And curiosity always precedes growth. Inquiry throughout time has always been the driver of invention and wisdom and maturity and growth. And it's also been our protector against heresy. Healthy doubt can save us from toxic beliefs. Because we're always searching, we're always growing, we're always asking questions about our faith, questions in the ways in which we can express and live out that faith, questions about the meaning and the veracity of Scripture, questions about how we ethically live out our faith within the world that we live in, and how we demonstrate that we take our faith seriously, that it matters not only to us and our lives, but others around us. We are a witness. So doubt does not deplete faith. Only apathy and cynicism destroys faith. So doubt is the tool of the curious and the invested. Doubt most often yields a deeper, more authentic, and more resilient faith. So this Advent season, be kind to yourself and open up to reflection and inquiry and deep reflection upon the meaning of the Christ child and his message to the world. The truths that he taught us, that he had called upon us to serve him in this life. So don't be afraid to ask questions. I certainly got more questions than answers. Sometimes I always say, you know, I don't know. And I don't know. I always say I don't know because I don't know, but I am seeking. I'm a seeker, and I'm proud to be a seeker. So don't be afraid to ask questions, and don't be afraid to doubt. It's not a sin to doubt. Ask old Doubting Thomas, and he'll tell you. Because he doubted, and then Jesus showed him the proof and the way, and man, did Thomas ever become one of the greatest evangelists. So if you engage with God in a new and refreshing ways, I think in return God will bless you with your inquiry and will lead you into a deeper understanding of his all-inspiring miracles around you and into the revelations about God the Father and your place into this world and why you are here, and you can be inspired and you can be challenged and you can be propelled towards a more resilient and powerful faith as we hang on to the blessed hope that we have in Christ. Because in this world, you know, the only hope that we have is something much better ahead. And that promise by God through Christ that we have the gift of eternal life. And that's a wonderful thing to know that God loved us so much that we can receive eternal life because our sins have been forgiven. And Jesus had paid the price. So Advent gives us a time and space in which to reveal the mysteries of God and also the mysteries of life. So my prayer for all of us, and myself included, that your Advent journey will take away any doubt that Jesus is God, manifested in the flesh, and that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is the one who does the teaching. Yeah, Jesus is not here in the physical sense. But he said, I'm going to send one greater than I when I have to go back to be with Daddy. And that is the Holy Spirit. And he is the teacher. He is the lover. He is the one that gives us the hope. And he will cure any doubts that you might have in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day. And be prepared to celebrate the birth of Christ. You know, it's so nice we have history on our side that we know that it happened and that we have the hope. And so hang on to it, church. God loves you and so do I.